Are you ready to explore living life with greater ease, more joy, and doing what you love to do? Imagine That Coaching can help you discover possibilities, direct connect you to your personal passions. Visit www.dianesturner.com or call 847-824-6949. Imagine That Coaching, connecting person to passion. 847-824-6949. Toll free, 866-398-8877.
Well, yippee-ki-yay, welcome to the studio live indeed, Diane Turner. Nice to see you this morning.
Well, thank you, Zara. So glad to be here.
Oh, I bet you. You said it feels like spring compared to Chicago.
It does. I know people in Tucson are freezing because it's winter here, but boy, compared to Chicago, this is no big deal.
Exactly. It's the tundra back there, as you said.
It is.
Well, it seems like an appropriate time of year for us to talk about a quotient you're developing.
Yes.
That you call the vitality quotient. Tell us more.
Well, this, of course, a lot of times what I often say to clients is we learn best through contrast. So I had a wonderful December experience. I was fortunate enough to go to Hawaii for 9 days, which I had never been to, and it was fabulous. And then came home and proceeded to get so sick that I literally had to cancel my life for 2 weeks. And that is not fun for me. And of course, it's frustrating because I like having things be in order, like most people, right?
Coming up on the holiday season,
exactly.
As well.
I was sick through the holidays, and my kids really rose to the occasion, which was nice. So they took care of themselves. They're both adults, which might surprise some people, but you know how it is. They want mom to do stuff and cook and prepare and all that.
Although mom loves to do that.
Mom does. Okay,
it's true.
But I got to thinking about this because I thought, you know, what is the message of coming out of something that was really so much about vitality, being walking on the beach and being in this beautiful place in Hawaii, and then coming home and having the experience of something that was almost the total opposite, having fever and coughing and sneezing, and it was not pretty. Anyway, so I started thinking about a vitality quotient. So coming into this new year, thinking about what I wanted to focus on in my life, and really seemed like a very appropriate follow-up to what you and I have been talking about, which is when is enough enough, and then paying attention to that wake-up call. So where has all this been leading me? Because for me, life is connected. It's never disconnected. And one thing really does open to something else. And so here I am thinking about what is a vitality quotient? What would that even be? So that's how I started thinking about it and thinking about, well, of course, we know that there's research about something called the emotional quotient, which is really about intuitive thinking, having a sense of things.
Both of yourself and the social awareness.
Exactly. And so is there a relationship between that, which is definitely an inside-out process, and our vitality? Our vitality as human beings. So that got me thinking about it. And then, of course, on top of that, I'm very blessed to be working with a client who at this point is really facing the end of her life. And she's not old by any means. She's in her 60s. She's struggling with a very aggressive cancer. And she is helping me to recognize that we really are, when time is short, wanting to hold on to every shred of life and everything that gives us energy and satisfaction. And there's no time for regret or wishing that we had done something. And so it was kind of a wake-up call for me to think about, okay, so no more putting off exercise and no more putting off my food choices and no more putting off travel that I want to do, but really making room for those things and adding them into my life rather than putting them on hold.
Exactly. Or putting them on delay or pause.
Right, right.
You know, I've got a very dear friend of mine for over 30 years, and her husband retired several years ago, and she's stayed actively engaged in the workforce with the same organization in the same field. But what happened was a good friend of hers suddenly lost her husband.
Yes.
And what a shock it was to this woman and for her to realize how those thoughts of what we would do in our later years when we both stepped in a different space within our careers would now never happen for her.
Right.
And so my friend, within 2 weeks, made the decision to indeed take the opportunity to retire, which she could.
Right.
And she's going to slide out, not one quick, abrupt.
Right.
But this idea, like you say, of recognizing vitality, the importance of now, and all the different quadrants in your life. I think think the word vitality, though, is you're, and I know you're coding it, it's much bigger than the physical side of our lives.
Well, you know, I don't just operate on one level. You know, with my clients and in my own work, it really is about our thinking. It's about our emotional life. It's about our physical life, and it's about our spiritual life. So it really is about charging those elements with energy and feeling that where we exert energy, we also feel the benefit of that. So it isn't so, it doesn't mean that we don't need rest, because rest can be a big part of vitality, but we also need to have things that we can feel excited about, that give us energy, that help us to feel excited and remind us that we're alive in this world, rather than just kind of being on autopilot all the time.
I'd also tell us, though, you know, there are times, though, when you're a lot more charged than you realize you are. It's sort of like, do I really need to keep the cell phone plugged in all night long if the green bar is already full?
Right.
So to my point is, you're ready. Now you can kind of unplug it and move on or do something with all this energy you do have. So part of this vitality index calls for modulating in how you expense it and use it, not just leave it stored up, albeit that gives you strong muscles. But if you don't go do something with the muscles, really, what's it all about then?
Well, and it is, again, another way of putting yourself on hold is saying, well, you know, I'll have energy for that at a later date. Or, you know, I better make sure that I have this in place before I do this. So there are a lot of ways that we distract ourselves, or we avoid, or we might go in a different direction, make excuses for ourselves, thinking that there's going to be enough time. Time is endless, and we have all the time we need. And in essence, we don't really know what our time is. We really don't. So there are people who feel, you know, that's a very selfish way of living, or, you know, they will have a negative frame about that. And yet, I will tell you that I think that it's really about self-care more than it is about taking anything from anyone else. Right. It is about charging ourselves with the responsibility of our lives and being accountable for that, which, you know, I know Mark Samuels often talks about accountability, but we are accountable for the lives that we live. And so no matter how much time we have, whether it's a long amount of time or something happens tomorrow, the fact is that we are responsible for the choices that we make. And so I'm just all of a sudden in this position where I'm looking at, so what am I surrounding myself and who is in my life and what are my relationships and do I love what I do? And if I don't love what I do, is there some way I can tweak that so that it becomes something that I love more of the time? So it isn't about getting rid of everything.
No.
It really is, again, I often talk about expansion. It really is about expanding our lives to encompass things where we feel that there's an exchange rather than just either
a depletion,
putting out a lot of energy and not getting anything back, and then we're left reinventing ourselves all the time.
That's right. The other term we introduced last week was the concept of the bright, shiny object, meaning the things that distract us from what you otherwise so nicely articulated. And so that's part of that vitality index, is to know when does rest, when does getting away from the enough stuff, to allow that vitality to now be released in a way that is consistent with the choices we want to make.
Right. So the question that keeps coming up for me as I make decisions pretty much every day, and it's a practice, so it's not something I just started doing. This is something I learned and try to practice on a regular basis. When I look at my day and I look at the ways I'm spending my time, I ask myself, is this activity or is this person or is this way of spending my time moving me closer to something that feels like it's giving me vitality.
As opposed to, does it just get off my list of things to
exactly,
do?
Or am I just checking something
stuff,
off?
The stuff.
Right, which, by the way, I like to check something off just like everybody else. I mean, if I've got a list and I can cross off 10 things.
There's a great sense of satisfaction.
There is something about that that feels vital. It feels like a releasing mm-hmm. of responsibility, and yet, how many times do we get to the end of that list and go, oh, but I didn't do this, oh, but I didn't do that? So where do you focus then? Do you focus on what you've accomplished, or do you focus on what's remaining to be done? And again, so this client that I'm working with, who is very short on time, she's really grappling with that because she has the desire to do more, but no energy. And so she wanted to send out holiday cards, for instance, and here she is at the end of her life, and this is probably going to be her last holiday season, and she bought the cards, and that's as far as she got. She could not get herself to the next stage, and what she was doing, though, is punishing herself for that and feel full of regret, like, I should be able to do this, rather than saying, you know, the desire was there, the intention was there. I'm just going to send out loving energy to my friends, or I'm just going to let them know when they call or when I speak to them how much I would have loved to have done this and let them know that I was thinking about them. So there is a way of moderating that so you're not punishing yourself for what you don't do, but you're also appreciating where you are and what you are able to accomplish. So that's really what this is about. For me, vitality is that balance point of accepting this is who I am, this is where I am in my life, this is what's possible for me, so can I set my life up in a way so I'm constantly feeding into that rather than draining it and taking away from it.
And saying that, by the way, I think the end outcome is you'll surprise yourself that indeed, whether you assigned a number or a list of attributes or whatever to, you know, on my vitality scale, I'm an 8 versus a 10.
Right.
However,
well,
you're going to
and you know, I'm not
manage,
a number person. Not, you are, right, but I'm not.
but if you're going to say, you know, even there's a greater sense of I can fall asleep easier.
Right.
Whatever the manifestation of it would be, is that actually once you go through what you're suggesting of this reflection, this fencing, this focus, this avoiding shiny objects, however you want to characterize it, is actually you almost always outstrip your ability to what you could have planned.
Well, right. And you really don't know what you're capable of. If you are really putting yourself in a position where you are connected to your own vitality, your own life force, I guess that's the kind of interchangeable concept that I'm using, is that when you do that, you really let go of things that drain you. And it could be a relationship. It could be a job. It could be a practice. It could be a belief. Just all those things put together are a package of things that we put on ourselves rather than coming from the inside out. A lot of times those are outside in things.
Absolutely.
Right?
We carry it around with a backpack that we never take off.
Exactly. Yeah. So
the other thing that strikes me, I started working with a trainer in this year, twice a week, half an hour, interestingly enough. And the thing that I'm learning is that, lo and behold, your muscles really do have memory.
Yes.
So even though I feel I had backed off from being in the vitality physically place I had been to previously, practicing yoga 3 times a week, et cetera, which I let slide off the radar screen. But that, oh, by the way, granted, the first couple sessions did provide significant distress and pain afterwards. But now that I've done it twice a week now for 6 weeks, indeed, I'm recovering back to where I was. Without even realizing, or it hasn't been hard work, in other words, I guess what I'm saying.
Right.
And I think I'm delayering as much what I mentally said, woe is me, why haven't I kept it up, et cetera, as much as I've allowed my body to recuperate where it always liked to be beforehand.
Well, it's so interesting to me because I really do feel that muscle memory, it happens in the broadest sense as well. So we have this this thinking that in a lot of ways, especially those of us who are in the baby boom generation, we think we are so much younger than we really are, right? So the chronological age and the emotional, mental age doesn't necessarily match up. So part of this is recognizing, you know, this is my chronologic age, but what does that actually mean for me on a day-to-day basis? And not limiting ourselves as a way of responding to it, but also not burdening ourselves with that. So there are a lot of people that I know who are in their 60s who are saying things to themselves like, oh, you know, I hate aging, or, oh, aging is terrible, and I can't do what I do anymore.
Think about your social interactions, how much of the conversation is on on ailments.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Well, I went to my, you know, dermatologist for this, and then I checked, and I had a battle with the healthcare company about that.
It's so true. And so all I would do is I'm challenging myself, and I would challenge the listeners to really think about how much of the time do you really think about the limitations of who you are versus allowing yourself to recover that muscle memory of something, of a time in your life when you had more energy, when you remember, oh, I can move like this. Oh, I can get up in a different way. Oh, I've learned how to compensate for things that now I need to compensate for because my energy is different as I age. So it is really fully being accepting of yourself and your possibility, which is about every single day, waking up with a day in front of you,
exactly,
thinking about the possibility rather than the shortcomings or limitations.
Well put. We're speaking with Diane Turner, by the way, and it's DianeSTurner.com to learn more about her work. Of course, her wonderful book, Heart Wisdom, that debuted a year ago. It'll be coming
Exactly.
And we'll see Diane again, of course, at the book festival here locally with her book and her new note cards to complement it with lovely poetry and illustrations. So I do want to ask that question then. You've got a new year upon yourself.
Yes.
We all do coming up. You've got your book, Heart Wisdom, now in a different place. What's on the docket?
Well, it's so interesting because I am not sure. In all honesty, I'm kind of in a place of transition again. I have some projects in mind. I'm actively engaged in my career at this point, so that feels great. Mm-hmm. We'll see. It's going to be a year that's going to be very different, I think. It's a year of unfolding. I believe that I am really working on my own physical health at this point. Mm-hmm. Last year, I had back problems. I came out of December with this icky flu, so I know that there's some things that I need to tweak in terms of that physicality and my vitality in that way. So I'm taking advantage of being here in Tucson and being able to go for a walk every day and get out in the sunshine. So we'll see, yet to be determined. I am not really sure what it's going to be, but I know that I'm entering into it from a perspective of there's a lot of possibility right in front of me, and I'm ready.
Don't you love it? And I wouldn't have been surprised at all if you'd answered me any way but that. So tell us real quickly, Heart Wisdom, how's your book doing?
Book is great. What's really, really fun is that I think I'm kind of settling into being an author and what that means for me in terms of really looking at the book as a resource.
For our listeners who aren't familiar with Diane's work, I actually dared her to do this book.
You did.
And 9 months later, we opened the boxes together.
It's so true.
So it's just like you found out a year ago, this process of who knows what's around the corner, but you want to be vital, ready, and healthy to take it on.
Exactly. And more writing to come. You know, I'm not sure what that's going to look like, but I do write pretty much every day, and that does keep me vital and clear and opens up channels that...
Boy, I sure hope this journal's got a little bit more structure than the first one, in case you say I want to turn this one into a book as well. Having said that, as your affectionate editor,
I know.
You know, don't take me there. Okay?
Very generous of you. I promise the next one will be different.
Well, it will be regardless if you try or not. That's the way it happens.
That's
well,
exactly
Diane Turner,
right.
Happy New Year. Thank you for being here in the studio with us. Enjoy climbing the mountain or whatever you're going to do here in Tucson.
And thank you
we'll
so much,
we'll look forward to chatting
Sarah.
With you next month.
Thank you.
And again, DianeSTurner.com, and look forward to keeping track of her work and Imagine That Coaching.
Thank you very much.
See you soon.
Great to see you.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Sarah Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Sarah Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.